WWE was in Montreal on Friday for SmackDown. Tonight, they were in Toronto. Over 14,000 fans, the biggest Raw crowd of the year. And they were treated to a very good episode of Monday Night Raw. A rare episode where hour number three was the best hour of the entire show. Usually things go downhill in the third hour. The numbers go downhill. You get to that third hour, man, it's really tiring. But we got to the third hour tonight. We got some of the best content on the entire show, including the return of Johnny Wrestling. Yes, Johnny Gargano is back. I only wish they would have done this a few weeks ago when they were in Cleveland, his hometown. But you know what? It's a good thing they didn't wait any longer because Dynamite is in Cleveland this Wednesday. So there would have been nothing but rumors and talk about Johnny Gargano all day on Wednesday had they waited. So at least we were spared all the rumors over the next 48 hours. But it was very good to see him back on TV. Probably the worst kept secret, just because I think when Triple H took over, anybody with a brain could have realized that Johnny Gargano was not going to AEW. He was going to come back to WWE because now it is safe. He has found a safe haven in WWE. Remember what Titus O'Neil said when he opened up Raw in Tampa all those weeks ago? WWE is a safe haven. And we all laughed at him like, what a ridiculous thing to have him say. Well, WWE now is a safe haven for Johnny Gargano because Triple H is running the show. And Triple H built an entire brand around Johnny Gargano, him and Ciampa. If you would have said to me, what happens if Ciampa and Gargano get called up to the main roster? Ask me that question 3 months ago, 6 months ago. I would have said, that's it. It's over. It's over, especially for Gargano. There's no way Johnny Gargano would have found success on the main roster under Vince McMahon. But now it's a whole new world. Under Triple H, these guys, sky's the limit. So it made no sense for Johnny to go anywhere else but WWE. And he got a very good reaction. He seemed genuinely happy to be on television tonight. And I think a lot of what he talked about in his promo on this show, when he talked about having aspirations of being the Intercontinental in the U.S. and the world champion and being at WrestleMania, he meant all of those things. Those are all things I think that he wants to cross off his bucket list. Now he is going to have the chance to do that. We will talk about what happened, what they had him doing, who came out during his promo. We'll talk about all that. But we also had the hometown returns tonight for two WWE Hall of Famers. We had Trish Stratus making an appearance on the show. Always good to see Trish on TV. And of course, Edge making his return in the main event tonight. You know, all night long they kept saying, oh, Edge back in Toronto, back in the ring for the first time in 10 years. Now, maybe they were talking about it as far as him making an appearance. But because I just kept thinking 10 years ago, he was already retired. It's been about 12 years, I think, since we've seen him in Toronto in the ring on TV. So it had been a very long time. And he closed out the show tonight in the main event against Damian Priest. We got a cameo from Beth Phoenix. We had a little face-off at the end with Beth Phoenix and Rhea Ripley, which the crowd was very much into. Dexter Lumis was on the show tonight. He abducted The Miz. What he's doing with The Miz right now, who knows, who cares, but we should all be thanking Dexter Lumis. He took The Miz away from us. Thank you, Dexter. And the women's tag team titles are cursed. You already knew that if you've heard me talk about these titles. These titles were cursed. These titles should have been burned in a bonfire a long time ago. But it has been one problem after another. Nikita Lyons, Zoe Stark, out of the tournament last week on SmackDown. Supposedly Zoe suffered an injury, so they got knocked out of the tournament. They were replaced by Toxic Attraction. Now we find out that Gigi Dolin was injured. Toxic Attraction, who advanced on Friday, out of the tournament. And we're going to have a second chance fatal four-way. We're actually going to have two tournament matches on SmackDown this week because the finals are next Monday. They're doing the finals 5 days before Clash at the Castle. We're going to have new tag team champions next week. This tournament cannot be over soon enough. These titles are cursed. Maybe Danhausen did something. So a lot to get into. We'll break down this entire show. This is your Monday Night Raw review. for Monday, August 22nd, 2022. I am the Solemn Monster. I do want to show something very cool. This is the feel-good story of the week, and it involves a member of the Sound Off family, a member of the Sound Off community, and a very important member of the Sound Off community, and I'll tell you why here in a second, but take a look at this. This is a collection of images from the WWE live event last night. They've been going through Canada all week long. They were in London, Ontario last night. And our very own Steve Mello, who is our graphics guru here on the channel and a good friend of mine, he puts together and assists with all the graphics, all the thumbnails that you see. Steve took his boys to their very first WWE live event, and he sent me a picture before he even went to the show of the sign that he was going to bring, and that is the sign on your screen that Kevin Owens is holding. Kevin Owens saw the sign that Steve made, he took it in the ring with him, and look at all the fun that KO and Trish Stratus were having at Austin Theory's expense, holding up the Kevin Owens for a Prime Minister sign. You know, if I was a Canadian resident, he'd have my vote. I would vote for Kevin Owens. But I don't have the ability to do that. But I wanted to give a shout out to Steve. That was a very cool moment. And I know his boys had a very good time last night. It's a fun experience. You know, your first time when you're a young kid like that, going to a WWE live event, your first wrestling show. And then your dad has his sign taken by Kevin Owens, posing with it in the ring. How cool is that? So anyway, yeah, congrats to Steve. That was very cool. I was very very happy for him when he sent that to me. So I need you to do me a couple of things here before we move on. Of course, subscribe to the channel if you are new here. Hello. We passed 70,000 subs a number of weeks ago, and we're trying to climb each and every day. So go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Make sure that you have notifications on. Super chats are open. You want to support the channel. If you want to get your question asked or your comment, we'll be going through those a little bit later on. So make sure you get those super chats on in. And the goal for tonight, the likes goal for tonight is 600. We are going to do Be the Booker at the end of this stream. The only way we do Be the Booker is to get to at least 600 likes. I think we're over 200 already, and I haven't even started the review. That's a good sign. Help me get there. So hit that thumbs up. Let's get to 600 before we wrap up here tonight. So Monday Night Raw opened with the cameraman running to the back. I thought maybe he had to go to the bathroom. Maybe he had the runs. I don't know what he ate before the show. So he's running to the back. And we see that at the gorilla position is Seth Rollins and Matt Riddle. And they're fighting. Officials, Adam Pearce shows up. And all, you know, producers are showing up. So they're trying to break these two up. Michael Hayes doesn't seem to be very bothered by any of this. Michael Hayes is, he's sitting in the background on a chair with his fanny pack. He's just lounging back, enjoying himself. He's like, I'm not getting up. I'm too old for this shit. I'll let everybody else try to break these fuckers up. So I spotted him in the background. So they fought out into the arena. They fought into the crowd. Rollins retreated back over the barricade to ringside. Riddle dove off the barricade. He took out Rollins and about four other people. And they finally pulled them apart. And the show started. Then they did the pyro, then they did the intros from the announcers, so, a quick frenetic pace here to the opening of the show. Out next was Toronto's own. We had multiple Hall of Famers in attendance on the show here tonight, but we had Toronto's own Trish Stratus.
We live in Toronto, yay, shut up!
Yeah, you know, all these Toronto people, they love to hear their name. They love it when you say the word Toronto, right? They get very excited when you say the name of the city.
We live in Toronto. Yay! Shut up!
So anyway, Trish comes out. She was looking great. Although really, let's be honest, when does she not look great? Trish Stratus looks amazing. You know what I credit for that? She has her own yoga. You know, DDP has his. Trish Stratus has hers. So yoga does a body good. And so Trish is out there and she says she felt good to be home. Not only in Toronto, but in between these ropes. And she said, you know, I was doing a lot of thinking lately. already. She was almost teasing that she was going to make some kind of announcement here. She says she's been doing a lot of thinking. But before she could say what she was thinking about, she was interrupted by Bayley's music. Bayley, Dakota Kai, Io Sky, they came to the ring as they cut to the first commercial of the night. They come back and Bayley is already in the middle of her promo and she is talking about how much she loves Trish Stratus and everybody loves Trish and they're huge fans. And Io sarcastically says that she's been her number one fan for a long time. But Bayley is wondering, she says, what are you even doing here? And Trish says, well, you know, there's a big main event. There's a big match on the show here tonight. In case you didn't know, with another Toronto hometown hero, that being Edge. And she's here to support him and root him on. And Dakota says, we don't care what you have to say. Now they turn against her. Io says, I don't like you. None of them like Trish. Says, this is our ring now. Trish is the past. We are the now. All of a sudden, Bianca Belair's music hits. Here comes the Raw Women's Champion down to the ring. She says, Bayley isn't even in the same stratosphere as Trish. She says, Trish walked so that they could run. Bianca said that she doesn't need to defend Stratus because she can defend herself. And Trish takes off her jacket. And she said that she could go from, I am retired, to I was retired. Very quickly, if Bayley gets out of line. And she didn't stop running her mouth. Bayley took her own jacket off and she pointed out that Trish and Bianca, you're still outnumbered. There's three of us. There's only two of you. That brought out Alexa Bliss and Asuka. And Trish pointed out, well, now, by my count, we have four. And you have three. Bayley said Trish is lucky that she was feeling generous and she would let things slide here because they're in her hometown. And that was pretty much the entire segment. I thought as far as promo segments go, this was not one of the better ones. Now, I'm a Bayley fan. I like Bayley. I was actually complimenting her. I was very entertained when she was harassing Michael Cole when they showed up in the front row on SmackDown Friday night. She was yelling at Michael Cole and wouldn't shut up and clearly annoying him, and I thought it was great. But Bayley has been pretty underwhelming, I think, on the mic. Since she came back, there's just not a whole lot of substance or bite to what she's saying. And there really was none of that here in this promo either. But it was great to see Trish. I wouldn't mind her having one more match if she wanted to, although she had a good send-off. I mean, think about it. The last time we saw Trish in the ring was a few years ago at SummerSlam against Charlotte. In fact, it was in this exact same building. It was in the Scotiabank Arena in her hometown of Toronto. She got to go out, and she lost. But she got to go out, had a very good match, considering that she hadn't been in the ring for many years. She had a very good match with Charlotte in her hometown. That would be a fine way to call it quits once and for all. That's funny. I think back to that SummerSlam. That was one of the only really good matches, I think, that I can remember from that SummerSlam in 2019. I don't want to say that it saved the show, but that was one of the better matches I remember from that pay-per-view. So, given that all the parties were already out, we had the Women's Tag Team Title Tournament semifinal matchup next. It was Asuka and Alexa Bliss taking on Dakota Kai and Io Sky. Asuka and Io, they were about to begin. They were going to start this match out together, but Io tagged out right away to Dakota. They showed Dana Brooke and Tamina watching on a backstage monitor, which is where they should be. Later in the match, they showed Aaliyah, who had a match later. Nikki A.S.H. and Doudrop, they also were watching backstage. Alexa Bliss hit this great-looking double DDT on Dakota and Io. And Dakota sold this great. I thought the Dakota Kai sell on this DDT was fantastic. Bliss tagged in Asuka, who put Kai in a submission hold before Io raced back into the ring. She broke it up. Alexa went up top. As she's going up top, she gets tagged by Asuka. She hit Twisted Bliss, but Kai got the knees up. Buried him right in Alexa's midsection. Asuka hit a series of strikes. Dakota ducked one and blasted Asuka with a forearm. Io blind tagged herself into the match while Asuka put Dakota Kai in the Asuka lock. Dakota tapped, but it didn't count because she wasn't the legal woman. And Asuka celebrated like she won until Io snuck in and rolled her up for the three count to advance to the finals. They gave these women a lot of time. They gave them almost 20, about 18, 19 minutes here. Almost 20 minutes they gave these four. You would never know that you had 14,000 people in the building because for the vast majority of this match, they were stone cold silent. This was like the antithesis of what we saw in Montreal on Friday, as energetic and loud and passionate as those fans were, unless it just came across that way on TV. Sometimes that's what happens. You know, you find out afterwards, how were we on TV? And I tell people, like, eh, you were kind of, sounded kind of dead. And then the people will say, oh no, in the building, we were really loud. So it'll be interesting to see if I hear from some people who, because I know some people who are in the building, but it definitely didn't come across that way on TV, not during this match. I thought the finish was terrible. I thought the match itself was, it was okay, but I thought the finish of the match was terrible. I don't think that Io could have done a worse job of making that blind tag look blind. And it's important. It's not just a spot that looked bad. It was the finish of the match. She was supposed to quietly, very discreetly tag herself in without Asuka knowing about it, but she did it in plain view of Asuka. And in turn, she made Asuka look like a dumbass because it was clear as day that she had tagged herself in. And Asuka still put Dakota in the submission hold, tapped her out, and then pretended like, oh, I won the match. So it wasn't a blind tag at all, and it made Asuka look like an idiot. So I thought the finish sucked. But let's put up the graphic right now. Here is where things stand as far as the tournament. These are the current updated brackets after tonight's show. Io Sky and Dakota Kai, they are in the finals. The finals will be in Pittsburgh, live on Raw next Monday. They will be facing either Raquel and Aaliyah or one of four other teams because, as I said, Toxic Attraction is out. Gigi Dolan suffered an injury. You know, now that I think about it, she was holding her neck on the apron during part of that match on Friday, so I don't know if it's a neck injury. They didn't specify what kind of injury it is, but she is hurt. And so what they're doing is on SmackDown this Friday, we're having a second chance fatal four-way. And it's going to be Nikki and Doudrop, Dana and Tamina, Xia Li and Shotzi, and Natty and Sonya. So Alexa and Asuka are out. They're not in this match. They're out. They want to get their revenge. They'll have to wait until Clash at the Castle. I look at that fatal four-way on Friday night. I think it's Natty and Sonya. My pick, I think it's going to be Natalya and Sonya Deville facing Raquel and Aaliyah later on that night. And I think it's Raquel and Aaliyah who go to the finals next week against Io and Dakota. Just because you want to have that babyface against heel formula, I think, for that match. And they're the team, looking at these teams here, that would make the most sense. I think at the end, it's not going to change the outcome. You know, Bayley's crew are going to win the women's tag team titles. And then Sasha Banks and Naomi are going to come back, and they're going to go after them and challenge for the women's tag team titles. But I think it's going to be Raquel and Aaliyah going to the finals, and then they're going to lose. Well, what a fucking mess. I mean, what a mess. This has turned out to be. This tournament is cursed. These titles are cursed. They never should have been brought back to begin with. But Triple H is going to try to revive these tag team titles, and we'll see if he books them any differently. For all the positives that we have seen so far under Triple H, I am still very skeptical that there is going to be any kind of real change when it comes to these women's tag team titles. But we'll give him the chance, right? He's still new to this. We'll give him the chance and we'll see what he comes up with. Dolph Ziggler was interviewed by Kevin Patrick in the back about facing Finn Balor tonight. Balor and Rhea Ripley showed up to interrupt. Balor said that Ziggler couldn't teach him anything, and Ziggler said, well, there was one thing I could teach you, and he dropped Balor with a right hand. Ziggler's music played, and he went to go into the arena, but he stopped. He turned around, and he looked at Finn sitting on the ground, and he said, Are you going to stay down like a little bitch? Or are you going to come out to the ring and fight me? And off to the ring went Dolph Ziggler for the very next match, which was Finn Balor one-on-one against Dolph Ziggler. Now, we saw Ziggler last week. He had a long match in the main event against Austin Theory. Theory won, so he put the kid over. This week, it was Dolph doing the honors for Finn Balor, but again, going out there and having a long, what ended up being very good match here on the show. So they have found a role for Dolph Ziggler on the show. His job is to put other people over and go out there and eat up TV time and have a very good television match. That is the best use right now of Dolph Ziggler. And I talked about the reaction in the women's tag team tournament match and how quiet the crowd was. Nobody seemed to give a shit. Kind of that way here at the beginning, but by the time this was over, these two, they won the crowd over. Balor stuffed a super kick attempt, but then Ziggler avoided the 1916. He hit him with a Famouser for a near fall. Balor came back. He went for the coup de grace, but Ziggler avoided it, and he dropped him with a zigzag for an even better near fall. This is where everybody kind of came up out of their seats and thought he might have had it won. Ziggler dropped Balor with a headbutt, and then he backed up closer to the ropes, and he started setting up for a superkick. And as he's setting up for this super kick, he made it a little too obvious. And just the way the camera just had a perfect view of his face, and he made it a little too obvious that he was waiting for Rhea Ripley to climb up on the apron and just pop him right in the face. And that's exactly what happened. Rhea climbed up on the apron. She punched him. The gum went flying out of his mouth. Referee didn't see it. Balor hit the 1916. He went up top. He hit the double foot stomp, and he got the pin. So, another Judgment Day win that you can credit to the real leader of the group, which is Rhea Ripley. If you're wondering, well, since Edge got kicked out, who's the leader? Right? Finn Balor, I guess. Finn Balor is the leader of the Judgment Day? No, he's not. Damian Priest? He's now the longest tenured member. He's the leader of the Judgment Day? No, he's not. The leader of the Judgment Day is Rhea Ripley. She's the one who has created the greatest amount of success for this group. She has been the dominant member of this group. She's dominated Dominic. I don't know what happened to him. She put this fucking kid in a coma. I don't know where he's been. Rhea Ripley is the real leader of the Judgment Day. Plain and simple. So they still had another match yet to come. Priest was going to be in the main event later on against Edge. This was the second long match of the night so far. This was the second match of the night so far. But they went almost 15 minutes. I thought this was really good stuff, save for the Dolph spot at the end. And so kind of similar to the opening match where the finish was kind of ruined by, you know, what we saw in this case. It was just he telegraphed it way too much. He was waiting. He was kind of looking. And it just, and even on the replay, they tried to show it from a different angle that didn't make it look as bad. Because even they knew that we can't show this angle. So they replayed it at a different angle. But besides that, though, I thought this turned into a very good match. And don't forget, we have people still filing on in. The goal tonight for likes here on the stream is 600. That's the magic number. We are over 450, so we're getting close, but we're not there yet. So make sure if you're just in here that you hit that thumbs up button. We get to 600, and we'll do Be the Booker at the end of the night. Otherwise, we ain't doing Be the Booker, and I'm going to bed. It's up to you guys. So Aaliyah was being interviewed by Sarah Schreiber backstage when Bayley, Dakota, and Io showed up. Bayley said that Sky and Kai would win the tag team tournament and asked, where's your partner? You know, Raquel is her partner in this tournament. They wanted to know, where's Raquel? I don't know, maybe she got stuck at the border like some other people did. But she was not on the show tonight. Aaliyah said it was none of her business. Bayley said that it was very stupid of Aaliyah to show up alone. But she wasn't alone. Because here comes Trish Stratus. And Trish shows up and she asks Bayley, hey, you know, when are you going to be in action? You've been back now for a few weeks. We haven't seen Bayley back in the ring yet. When are you going to step in the ring and actually wrestle a match one-on-one? And Aaliyah challenged Bayley to face her in a match. Bayley accepted. As the heels were walking away, Adam Pearce could be seen showing security members a piece of paper with someone's photo. We didn't see who it was. I would assume he was showing them a photo of Dexter Loomis to try to make sure he didn't get into the building. They failed. The worst security staff I've ever seen in my life. Corey Graves on commentary later on when Dexter showed up, by the way, was losing his mind. How does this man, he's not even signed to a contract anymore. He's not part of this company. He's not part of the talent roster. How many weeks in a row is this man going to successfully interfere in this television program? Do we not have any paid security here working these shows? He's right. Corey Graves was absolutely right. He was losing his freaking mind later on when Dexter Loomis showed up. I wouldn't feel safe. If I was on Monday Night Raw, I wouldn't feel safe. Chad Gable and Otis, they were out next for an Alpha Academy Open Challenge. Chad Gable said that Alpha Academy has finally decided to accept new recruits. They are looking for new students. He said he was starting his search here in Canada, but he regretted it because he could only find toothless, washed-up former hockey players. He mocked the Toronto fans by saying their hockey team lost to a team from Tampa Bay. And he said they don't even have ice in Tampa Bay. Well, I got news for you. Even their baseball team, they don't have fans either. When you look out into the stands, they don't have fans. He said their star player, Austin Matthews, is American, and he doesn't even have the talent to wash Otis's jockstrap. Otis had his beard back, by the way. He's grown the beard. He had gone clean shaven. Now he's got the evil beard back. So Gable called for the open challenge. Anybody who wants to come out and accept his challenge, come on down. We hear Kevin Owens' theme music, and he comes out to a big babyface pop from the Canadian crowd, paying homage to their fellow Canuck. I love how Owens is back to wearing his old t-shirt. It's the same shirt he was wearing back, you know, his prize fighter days when he first came in. I said this on Twitter. It only took Triple H a few weeks to push the reset button on Kevin Owens and bring back the NXT Kevin Owens. Bring back the prize fighter. Bring back the old shirt, the old Tron. If you look at the video when he comes out, he's killing people. A few weeks, we got the old Kevin Owens back. Triple H is working fast. Owens went for a pile driver on the apron early in the match. Gable countered with a backdrop on the apron, which they pointed out is the hardest part of the ring. I know that's something that you guys have probably never heard of before, but it is true. The ring apron is the hardest part of the ring, unless you count the ring post. But see, the ring post technically might not be part of the actual ring. Uh-huh, you see. So, it's all in the eye of the beholder. But I digress. So Gable gave Owens a released German suplex on the apron. They come back from break. Gable hit a series of Germans. Owens broke free, hit a German suplex of his own. He followed up with a cannonball in the corner. Owens hit a great-looking frog splash, cleared half the ring. Only got a near fall. Gable avoided the pop-up powerbomb. Owens went for a stunner. Gable, though, countered with a high-angle German suplex. He folded Kevin Owens up. And look, Kevin Owens, he's a bigger guy. He landed, and all of that weight just down right on the neck. It looked great. I'm sure it didn't feel too good, but it looked great. So Gable hit a top rope diving headbutt a la Dynamite Kid, a la Benoit. That is one move I would not mind if they retired. I cringe every time I see it. Gable went for a superplex. Owens reversed into an avalanche fisherman buster for a close near fall. That looked great. Owens went up for a top rope senton. Gable got the knees up. Gable went for a moonsault. Owens rolled out of the way. Gable landed on his feet. Owens caught him with a super kick and hit a pop-up powerbomb for the win. Kevin Owens picks up the W here on this show tonight. After the match, Otis jumped Owens from behind. He fought back. Heels took over. Fans broke out. I'm sure you must have heard it. The fans broke into a chant of Sammy, Sammy. They wanted Sami Zayn to come out and make the save. But Kevin Owens didn't need Sami Zayn. He made his own comeback. He made his own comeback on the former tag champs. Hit a stunner on Otis, powerbomb Gable onto Otis, much to the delight of the crowd. This was a little bit shorter than the previous two matches. This one probably went about, maybe 12, 13 minutes, I think is what I clocked it at. But this was the best match of the show up to this point. This was even better than the first two matches. I mean, it was definitely better than the opening match. But it was better than the Ziggler and Balor match. So I thought this was great stuff. And a couple of things here before we go on. So I talked in my SmackDown review, and again on the Sound Off this weekend, I raved about what we got on SmackDown Friday night involving Sami Zayn. The segment with Roman Reigns, I thought it was just fucking gold. I mean, just the chemistry between those two. I want to see 15 more backstage segments. I want more interactions between Roman Reigns and Sami Zayn before they pull the plug on this angle. I find this to be as entertaining as Rock and Sock, Austin and Angle from 01. It's just great stuff. But clearly, they are moving in the direction of something where Owens and Zayn are going to challenge the Usos for the tag team titles. It has to be. It has to be. It's right there for the taking. The fans are clamoring for it. They're cheering these two. Now, I understand they've been in Canada for the past week. They have been in Canada. You have two Canadians in Canada, so of course they're going to get these superstar reactions. Maybe everybody will go back to booing them next week when they're back in the States. But the fans, I think, are clamoring for this. They've been apart for long enough. It got to the point where even I was sick of Owens and Zayn together. They had to get away from each other. But now so much time has gone by. And I've been saying, you know, it's been 5 years since we've seen babyface Sami Zayn. You got to start moving in that direction. Owens and Zayn should be the ones to dethrone the Usos. The Usos have had those titles long enough. And there is no other team right now that is ready to topple them and take that spot as the number one team in this company. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn have never been tag team champions in this company before. For all the times that we've seen them interact, for all the matches against each other, we've never seen them together as tag team champions. Now is the time to start building to that. And they're doing it. I have every reason to believe, I have all the faith in Triple H. He sees it the same way. And that is what we are beginning to see. The seeds have been planted. Now we have to watch them grow. I don't know how long it's going to take, but I am very excited to see where the story goes. And this is my favorite storyline in the entire company right now. It's the stuff involving Zayn and the Bloodline, and now you work Owens in there. This is my favorite piece of creative in the entire company right now. WWE and NXT is this stuff here. Now, to go back to something that Chad Gable said in his promo before the match, he mentioned that the Alpha Academy are looking to recruit new students. They're opening applications for new students into the academy. And I was thinking, you know, maybe they call somebody up. Maybe it's not somebody who's already on the roster. Maybe they call somebody up from NXT. If so, who could that be? They already have the whole Chase University thing with Andre Chase. I mean, he's doing his own thing. The first name I thought of, and a name who I think absolutely could work in this spot, and he's another name who I never would have said before, oh, get him up on the main roster, he's going to do so well, because under Vince McMahon, he would have been dead. That would have been the end of him. But under Triple H, things are different now. And that person is Cameron Grimes. I think that if they were to add Cameron Grimes to the Alpha Academy, that would be one way to introduce him to the main roster. And I think he could absolutely make it work. You could absolutely make that work if you wanted to add him to the Alpha Academy and have him interacting on TV with Gable every week. Just use that as a way to get his foot in the door on Raw and just go from there. Grimes has done all he can do. I mean, I know he hasn't won the NXT Championship, but he feels like he has hit his ceiling, it feels like, in the NXT brand. And so it's only a matter of time before he gets called up to the main roster. This would be one way of doing that. As somebody mentioned, it'd be, well, what about Gable Steveson? Wouldn't Gable Steveson make sense? He was supposed to be on Monday Night Raw. We still haven't seen him. He was drafted to Raw. He just hasn't debuted yet. You put Gable with Gable. Well, he beat up Gable at WrestleMania. Why would he want to be part of the Alpha Academy? That wouldn't make any sense. Unless Gable and Otis were actively trying to recruit him, to me, that just doesn't make any sense. And it's not something that Stevenson needs, but I think Cameron Grimes is just an idea, but I think he could definitely work. He could definitely work. And for people saying, well, it doesn't really fit what he's been doing in NXT, how often is there any kind of continuity between that and the main roster? Now, maybe now things will be different under Triple H, but just because somebody was doing one thing in NXT does not mean they are going to be doing the exact same thing on the main roster. So again, I think that that could work. Aaliyah. I said that she was in action tonight, and she was. Aaliyah had a singles match because she is from Toronto, which I did not know. She's from Toronto. She comes out. She got a mild pop from the crowd when they announced that she was from Toronto. She went one-on-one against Bayley. This was Bayley's first match in over a year. I'm sure Aaliyah is a very nice girl. I'm sure she's a very nice lady. But I don't think that I have ever seen a babyface in their hometown get such an apathetic reaction as the one that Aaliyah got. Once the bell rang and the match started, these people didn't give a shit. It didn't matter. You could have said that she was from... They called us, she's from Toronto. She could have been from your fucking living room. She could have been living with you. And I still don't think these people would have popped for her. Here comes the girl who lives in the basement. They wouldn't have reacted. Nobody cared. And she was trying. I mean, she was doing all kinds of... She did a bulldog at one point to Bayley out on the floor. She was obviously trying to, you know, impress the hometown crowd. And I'm sure she was very excited. In fact, they showed her crying. She was basically in tears at one point. Before the match, I'm sure she was very emotional being, you know, back home. But boy, once the bell rang, these people did not care. Inside the ring, she applied a single leg crab to Bayley, who broke it up by grabbing Aaliyah's hair. And in the end, Aaliyah got planted with the rose plant. Bayley hit the rose plant. She got the win. Yeah, you know, maybe part of it also was that absolutely nobody expected Aaliyah to win the match because this was Bayley's first match in over a year. You think she's going to go in there and lose to Aaliyah? Have you watched these shows? Are you even a wrestling fan? Of course she wasn't going to lose. But you can't put it all on that. These people just didn't care. Aaliyah is not a star in their eyes. She's not been established enough. A lot of people probably don't even know who she is. She's a SmackDown star. I'm not even sure why she was on Raw. Other than she was in Toronto. That's probably why they wanted her on the show. But she's not even a member of the Raw roster. So I wouldn't be shocked if half the crowd, Toronto or not, had no idea who this woman was. That's also very possible. These Toronto fans.
We live in Toronto. Yay! Shut up!
That's right. So, we had Bobby Lashley and AJ Styles taking on Tommaso Ciampa and The Miz. On their way out for the match, they showed Lashley and Styles walking through the backstage area. And as they were walking through the back, they passed by Adam Pearce and some security people who were surveying what appeared to be a fire that was just put out. I don't know exactly what was on fire. Whatever it was smoking, and they were looking at it, trying to figure out exactly what the hell happened. And they just sort of, you know, moved on. It was never acknowledged. We've been seeing a lot of this in recent weeks. These weird, bizarre happenings that are not acknowledged, but they're there for us to see. It's part of a larger story that's playing itself out, probably with Dexter Lumis, but they don't acknowledge it. But I like it. I like it. It keeps you wondering, okay, what is this? Is this building to something? Maybe it's not Dexter. Maybe it's all swerve. Maybe these things that are going on are going to build to some other debut or some other return that we're not even thinking of. Maybe Sasha Banks and Naomi are like, fuck it, we're going to try to set fire to the arena. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe it's Johnny Ace. He's trying to get back. He's trying to come back to the company. He's got nothing better to do. What's he going to do? Hang around the house? Who knows? So they went 13 minutes, which ended up being a waste, given the finish. Lashley set up for a spear, but Miz pulled Ciampa to safety outside. Lashley followed and clotheslined Miz. When Bobby tried to get back into the ring, Ciampa caught him. and he hit the Willow's bell for a near fall. Lashley avoided the fairy tale ending and speared Ciampa, but Miz broke up the pin. Styles took out Miz and hit him with a flying forearm on the floor. Strowman. Who said that in the chat? Strowman? Strowman's trying to get back in the company? I thought he was busy controlling his narrative. Maybe he's the reason why Raquel couldn't get over the border. Who knows? But anyway, so AJ's out on the floor. So all of a sudden, a hooded man reaches over the barricade. He tries to grab Styles. Security swarms this guy. And you assume it's Dexter Lumis, right? Because that's his calling card over the last few weeks. That's how he has tried to attack. But this time, when the guy lifts his head, it is not Dexter Lumis. And I couldn't tell who it was. I didn't recognize who it was. I don't think it was supposed to be anybody. So let's put this to bed right now. For anybody wondering, who was that from NXT? I didn't recognize who it was. I don't think it was meant to be anybody. I think it was just meant to be a swerve. He was a decoy to take all the attention away from Dexter Lumis, who showed up 30 seconds later. So I would not investigate too closely. It probably was maybe like a local talent or something, just playing a part for one night. I don't think it's meant to be somebody that we're going to be seeing more of. So as they're carrying this guy off, I guess all of the security guards were busy with him. Meanwhile, Miz is resting up against the barricade. And a security person who is sitting right behind him stands up, turns around, and is standing right behind Miz. Miz has no idea. And this guy removes his face shield and his helmet to reveal Dexter Lumis. And he reaches over the barricade and he puts his arm around Miz's neck to kind of choke him. And he drags Miz over the barricade. He drags him back through one of the arena, tunnels like the fans would go through. And they disappear, never to be seen again. Off they went. The bell rang to signal for, I assume, the disqualification. It could have been a no contest. But if the referee saw Miz being assaulted, then I would assume that it was a DQ and the winners were Miz and Ciampa. I don't recall if they ever made any official announcement, though. In the ring, Styles hit Ciampa with the phenomenal forearm and then Lashley hit the spear. So, with Lumis kidnapping Miz, he may be a babyface after all. It was looking like they were going to be starting an issue with Lumis and AJ Styles. And Lumis might be a heel. But if you think back, all the segments over the last few weeks where we have seen Dexter Lumis trying to get to somebody, trying to get involved, not only have they involved AJ Styles, but they have involved The Miz. So I guess tonight we found out that he wasn't going after AJ Styles. He was going after The Miz. And so he'll probably be a babyface. Why he's going after The Miz, we have no idea. We'll have to see what the explanation is going to be. For those who are familiar with Dexter Lumis, he doesn't speak. He is a mute. Although he did say, what was it, I do, right? He did say the words I do when he got married to Indy Hartwell in NXT. So we know that he can speak. But generally, he does not speak. He does not speak. He's actually a very talented artist. So he'll draw pictures. He'll give you a thumbs up or a thumbs down. I don't know that we're going to be hearing any explanation from Dexter Lumis anytime soon. But anyway, so that was tonight's wonderful adventure with Dexter Lumis, who may or may not be setting fires around these buildings and crashing cars and doing all of these weird things that are going on. We came back from commercial, and we hear the sounds of Rebel Heart. Oh, how I missed hearing that song. I missed hearing Rebel Heart on TV. Now put the song back on Spotify, you cowards. They took the fucking song off Spotify. Bring it back. Johnny Gargano. Back on Monday Night Raw. We have not seen Johnny Gargano in a very long time. We have not seen Johnny Gargano since December of last year. So it has been about 9 months. 8 or 9 months we have not seen Johnny Gargano. He comes out and gets in the ring, and he got a much louder reaction after he was already in the ring. I think part of it was shock. Part of it also is you probably have some people who don't know who he is. Or they know who he is, but they didn't really pay attention to NXT, and so to them, Johnny Gargano was not that big of a deal. But when he got in the ring, he got a great ovation from everybody. Everybody was cheering for him. They were chanting his name. They were very happy to see him. So Gargano gets into the ring, and there's a loud Johnny wrestling chant that broke out. Believe me, there were enough people who knew who Johnny Gargano was, just based on how they were reacting to things he was saying here in this segment, because you're going to hear from a lot of people. Who cares about Johnny Gargano? Nobody watched NXT. Nobody cared. He's small. He's this. He's that. These are people who are either not familiar with his work or are simply very close-minded individuals who don't understand that there are certain people in wrestling who are able to make a connection with the audience in ways that other wrestlers are not able to do so. And that was something that Johnny Gargano had the gift of in NXT. That's what made him such a great babyface. See, I thought that he was very entertaining as a heel with the way, but he is at his best when he is the underdog babyface. We got to see that in NXT. He was fantastic. He was Mr. NXT. There's a reason why they built that brand around him for so long. In the ring, I mean, there's no doubt in the ring what he can do. In the ring, he's fucking fantastic. You don't have to worry about him in the ring. The way he could tell a story just based on his mannerisms and his facial expressions. He is a phenomenal babyface. And there is no doubt in my mind, he could be a Daniel Bryan-esque babyface on the main roster if given the opportunity, if he is booked correctly. He could be that type of babyface. Daniel Bryan was not 6'2", 230 pounds either. He got over pretty well. So the notion that a smaller guy, oh, you know, I've taken shits bigger than this guy, or I have, you know, my son is bigger than this guy, or the woman standing next to me is bigger than this guy. You know, you're going to hear a lot of comments like that, and it's like, haha, okay, you know, great. But the reality is, this guy could be a world champion in this company one day. And you can laugh, and you can mock, and you can scoff all you want to. Maybe he's not the kind of person that gets you overly excited. Maybe he's not the kind of person that you would put the championship on. But over a period of time, he will get over. And I believe that he has the ability to one day be at the level that Daniel Bryan eventually got himself to. That scrappy underdog babyface who can be very entertaining, have a sense of humor, kind of like, you know, the guy next door. He is like you. He's like me. You can relate to him in some way because he's not big and jacked up and all that. We need people like that to balance out the Bobby Lashleys of the world and then the Corbins and all the bigger guys and the Omases and the Shanky, right? The fucking Shanky. Where's he been? All these big guys. You need to have smaller guys who could go in the ring, but who also have the ability to make that kind of connection with the audience. So if you're wondering, what's the big deal about this guy? Look at him and he doesn't look like much. Give it time. And if you aren't familiar with his work from NXT, you will become familiar with his work very quickly. Not a doubt in my mind that the main roster fan base will take to him in time. They will take to him in a way that I'm sure Vince McMahon never would have. Triple H knows what Johnny Gargano brings to the table. That's why he brought him back. That's why he's on Monday Night Raw. Otherwise, he wouldn't waste his time. So I was very happy to see him back tonight. Never a doubt in my mind once Triple H took over that this is exactly where he was coming back. He was not going to go to AEW. Before Triple H took over, I believe there was a chance he was going to end up. A very good chance he would have ended up in AEW. He was very vocal that he would love to get in the ring with Bryan Danielson. They share a lot in common. Once Triple H took over, it was a no-brainer. Especially with AEW now and all the guys they have there and half of them barely get enough television time, this is the right place for him to be. He fits right in with Triple H's vision of what he wants this show to be. Which, judging from the last few weeks, are a lot of longer wrestling matches on TV. I'm already seeing people, by the way, on Twitter complaining about, oh, the matches are too long. Are you fucking kidding me? Do you know how many times I heard from people saying, oh, what all the bullshit segments that Vince McMahon would put on TV and the 2-minute matches and the 90-second matches? Oh, I can't stand this show. Look at the short matches. They don't mean anything. The bell rings. It's already over. Now, oh, the wrestling. There's too much wrestling on the wrestling show. You know what? I think that they're right. I think the fans don't know what the fuck they want. I really think the fans don't know what the fuck they want. Anyway. So Gargano says it's been 9 months since he's been in a wrestling ring. He was joking about not being sure how to talk into the mic. Is this the right way? Is this how I do it? He said, for those who don't know him, he was kind of a big deal in NXT. He ran through his long list of accomplishments and noted that he won the NXT tag team titles in this very building, which that's correct. I had not realized that. This is back when it was still the Air Canada Center. This is going back about 6 years now. Classic. One of the all-time classic NXT matches against the Revival when DIY won the tag team championship. Gargano said that he wondered if he wanted to even continue to wrestle. And he talked about being at home and playing with his six-month-old, and he dubbed him Baby Wrestling, and that got chance of baby wrestling from the crowd. And Gargano said, you know, I remember dreaming big about one day becoming the Intercontinental Champion, one day becoming the United States Champion, one day becoming the WWE Champion, one day being in a match at WrestleMania. He said that he had to teach his son that even the biggest dreams can come true. And he remembered in his very last appearance on NXT, the night before Grayson Waller attacked him from behind, when he was giving that speech, he remembers talking about, you'll never fail if you bet on yourself. He said, that's what he's doing now. He says, I stand here incredibly proud to say that Johnny Wrestling is back in WWE. He said that they were just getting started. Austin Theory's music interrupted, and we go, it was not lost on me that we went from a segment involving Dexter Lumis to a segment involving Johnny Gargano and Austin Theory. Only thing missing were the ladies, Candice and Indy. You got the band back together. Only the women were missing. Theory came to the ring with his Money in the Bank briefcase. Crowd started a Who's Your Daddy chant. So again, if you were wondering if this crowd was familiar with NXT storylines, that pretty much put that to rest. Theory said that a lot has happened in 9 months. He said he became the youngest United States champion. He competed at WrestleMania already, and he's well on his way to becoming the WWE Universal Champion since he won Money in the Bank. He says, it's almost like all the things that you've dreamed of, I've already done them. And he told Gargano that, look, I wouldn't have been able to do any of this, though, without you. Without you, none of this would have been possible. Crowd gave Theory the what chant. He said it's like he's the veteran and Gargano is the rookie. Theory called for their old high five. He wanted to do the old high five from NXT. And he teased doing it. And, of course, you knew where this was going because Theory kept saying, give it to me, give it to me, give it to me. And Gargano gave it to him. He gave it to him right in the chin. Super kick, right to the jaw. So I thought that this was a great, you know, reaction, a great reception that he got here, even though I do wish they would have done it in Cleveland. I think it would have been a much bigger reaction there. But as I said before, as entertaining as he was in NXT as a heel, he is a natural babyface. That is the right role for him to be in. I'm glad that he's being reintroduced as a babyface. And the changeover from Vince McMahon to Triple H could not come at a better time for Johnny Gargano. It's almost like it was meant to be. It was fate. This guy is sitting out for months. He could have made his decision 6 months ago. He could have already been on Dynamite, or let's be honest, he would have been on Dark. He would have been wrestling. He could have already been on Rampage and Dark, wrestling the Trustbusters. But now, I mean, he could have made his decision a long time ago and he held out. I don't know if he knew something that we didn't, but he held out. And he held out just long enough where the entire wrestling world got flipped upside down. And now Johnny Gargano is in a prime spot on Monday Night Raw. I still maintain what I said weeks ago, which is that I want a DIY reunion on TV. I think it's the right thing to do with him and Ciampa at the moment. The two of them can still do single stuff. The two of them can eventually branch off and become singles, you know, heel, babyface, whatever it may be. But we need a proper DIY run on the main roster. And that also at a time when they need tag teams. They're desperate for fresh new tag teams, good tag teams. You can't find a better tag team than Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa. So how do you get there? Okay, you want DIY. Well then, all right, genius, how do you do it? Very simple. It's very simple. It looks like Gargano is going to be maybe feuding or having a quick program with Theory based on what they did here. Maybe this was just a way to reintroduce him, but it looks like they might be doing something with the two of them, and that's fine. But there's a program ready and waiting for Gargano and The Miz. You do a program with Gargano and The Miz, and at the end of it, Ciampa breaks away from Miz, who he never should have been put with from the start, and you reunite him and Gargano, and you get DIY back together. And you could do DIY and the Usos. You can do DIY with Owens and Zayn. You could do DIY in the Alpha Academy. You could do... It's a new tag team in the division, but it's a team with experience, a team that could go, a team that could carry those titles, and a team that could also branch out, and you can get two single stars out of them, you know, later on. But I want a DIY run on the main roster. I hope that is what we get. Our main event was Toronto's own, the Rated R Superstar, Edge, one-on-one with Damian Priest. Beth Phoenix was shown in the front row. She was cheering on her husband. No Finn Balor at ringside, no Rhea Ripley. Damian Priest said that he wanted to go it alone tonight. He was not going to have anybody out there to help him. Edge clotheslined Priest out of the ring and then powerbombed him back first onto the barricade by the timekeeper's area. He didn't powerbomb him into the barricade. He powerbombed him dead on the fucking top of the barricade. His back bent. He fell over, landed on his head. I winced because I know he's had back problems before. Probably going back to WrestleMania last year. I remember there being reports about him having a bad back. This is around the time that Priest was teaming with Bad Bunny. I mean, we're going back like a year and a half. So I don't know if he might have a history of back problems, but I can't imagine that felt too good. So they went to the picture-in-picture after that. Priest took control during the break. Edge went to the top rope. He dove onto Priest out on the floor right in front of the announce desk. Priest came back, though. He gave Edge a crucifix bomb through the announce table before cutting to the second picture-in-picture of the match. Later on, Edge was setting up for a sharpshooter, but Priest kicked him off, and Edge knocked referee Charles Robinson out of the ring. So Lil Nate took a ref bump out to the floor. Priest brought two chairs into the ring, and he was going for the concerto, but Edge avoided it. Edge tripped him up. He fell onto the chair. Edge broke the bottom bar off from the chair. We've seen him use this as a weapon before. He placed the bar in Priest's mouth, and he wrenched back on it with a crossface. Edge released the hold. He set up for a spear. Priest hit him with the bar, though. Whacked him right in the face with the bar. Charles Robinson slowly returned into the ring, made a slow count, but Edge kicked out. Priest went for a razor's edge. Edge avoided it. He hit an appropriately named Canadian Destroyer. Now, I've talked about how overused the Destroyer is, but you know what? If you're going to use a Canadian Destroyer, I cannot think of a better place to use it than in Canada. So this was a very appropriate Canadian Destroyer from Edge. I mean, how do you go to Canada and not use a Canadian Destroyer? Edge speared Priest after that, and he got the pin right at the 20-minute mark of what I thought was a very good main event. After the match, Edge was setting up for a concerto. He was not content to just beat the man and pin him. He wanted to assassinate this man. So he went outside, he got the two chairs, brought him back inside. Rhea Ripley, though, came into the ring, and she hit Edge with a low blow from behind. Gave this guy a low blow right in front of his wife. That's not going to go over too well. Finn Balor showed up. He hit the coup de grace. Priest went to go pick up one of the chairs. Beth Phoenix pulled the chair out of his hand. Or it might have been Balor's hand, but she pulled the chair out of his hand. Got into the ring, and she's swinging this thing around. She's smashing the mat like she's getting all pumped up and ready. And Balor and Priest are holding back Rhea Ripley. They're holding back their leader because she wants a piece of Beth Phoenix. And Beth Phoenix has a chair and says, bring it on. Bring it on, bitch. Let's go. And they're holding back Rhea, and eventually they think better of it, and the Judgment Day leaves the ring. So it's another big loss for the Judgment Day, but it's also a win for the hometown star, right? We don't always see the hometown person go over and get the big win and, you know, make the crowd happy or keep the crowd happy. So, yeah, that's one way to look at it. But what it does now is it sets up what I assume is going to be a mixed tag team match, a Clash at the Castle. I have to assume it's going to be Edge and Beth Phoenix taking on Rhea Ripley. And it could be either one of them, but I assume Finn Balor. Ripley and Balor against Edge and Phoenix, I have to assume, is going to be the match. I will tell you that I would not mind if they were to do one-on-one, Beth Phoenix and Rhea Ripley. I'd be okay with that. But my guess is we're going to get a tag team match at Clash at the Castle in Cardiff. And that closed out what I thought was a very good, very entertaining episode of Raw. We got the surprise return of Johnny Gargano, which I don't think anybody was expecting it tonight. We had a very good main event with Edge and Priest. We had a very good match with Kevin Owens and Chad Gable. Ziggler and Balor also had a very good match. I wasn't much a fan of the opening women's tournament match that they had. But we had, again, more good wrestling. We had more storyline developments, whatever the hell they're doing with Dexter Lumis and The Miz, right? He kidnapped him. So there were a lot of things going on tonight. And Raw continues to trend in the right direction. It is still not perfect. It is not perfect. It is an improvement over what it has been. It is able to keep me engaged. And it was, again, noticeable that the third hour tonight was the best, probably most eventful hour of the night. I thought it was hour three. Now, next week, Raw is in Pittsburgh. They've already announced that Pittsburgh's own Kurt Angle is going to be making a special appearance. Boy, they're going for all the Hall of Famers in their hometowns. Where is Raw in 2 weeks? They're in Pittsburgh next Monday. Someone let me know. Where are they in 2 weeks? They might be overseas because they're going to be in Cardiff that weekend. Tell me where Raw is in 2 weeks, and we can try to guess who's going to be making a special appearance on that show. That seems to be the formula that Triple H is going for. So Kurt Angle will be in Pittsburgh next week, and the finals of the Women's Tag Team Title Tournament will be held, and there will be a face-off between Seth Rollins and Matt Riddle. Next Monday is the go-home show to Clash at the Castle. Let's take a look at the Twitter poll. These are not poll results that you would have seen for Monday Night Raw a month ago, 6 weeks ago, 6 months ago. So clearly there are changes, positive changes, that have been made and are still being made as far as Monday Night Raw is concerned. Is part of it Triple H is in a honeymoon period? People are glamorizing him a little too much. That could be part of it, but not to the tune of 86% thumbs up. So if you have your doubts about whether or not there have been positive changes made to the show, look no further. This is not just a honeymoon period. This is a show that is a lot more watchable and tolerable than it would have been 6 weeks ago. This is real. 86% thumbs up, 9% thumbs in the middle, just 4% thumbs down. I can't believe that. 4% thumbs down from Monday Night Raw. Holy shit. So go vote at Solomonster. I feel like I'm basically what we're watching, the more the Triple H brings some of these people back, it's like we're watching a rebooted main roster version of the Black and Gold. With each passing week, that's really what it is. No wonder I've been liking it so much more. And I like that 86% too. 86 is the last year that the Mets won the World Series. Let's go through your super chats. I want to hear from you guys. This is where it gets fun. And where are we on the likes? I don't know. We were aiming for at least 600 to do Be the Booker. I don't know where we are. If we beat 600, I want 700. Let's see. Shinakuma, thank you for the 5 spot. I appreciate that. Joseph Brooks wants to know, who was WCW's best United States champion? And who was WWE's best United States champion? Very interesting. I would say the best WCW or NWA, either one of those. U.S. champion for me would be Lex Luger. I think Lex Luger was the best U.S. champion. I actually think Lex Luger has the most total combined days as the U.S. champion. I think he held the title like four or five times. But I think Luger was actually a very good U.S. champion. And as far as WWE, I mean, how do you not go with John Cena? I would say John Cena as far as WWE U.S. champions. Hyru with the $2. Johnny Wrestling is back. I am not crying right now. I wasn't crying, but I was happy to see him. I wasn't that emotional. I don't think there's anybody who, if they came back, I would cry, but I was very happy to see him. Derek Murchison, what about Miz? Gargano came and we forgot. Because nobody cares about The Miz. He got abducted and nobody gives a shit. As soon as Johnny Gargano came out, it's like, Miz who? Justin Jack, will you play the AEW game on Sound of Gamer? Yes. When the game comes out, we don't have a release date yet, but when the game comes out, I will play the game at least once. I will do a Sound of Gamer on the Fight Forever. Justin, with the $19.99... Can WWE please do away with the brand supremacy concept for Survivor Series this year? It is played out, and I just want it like Survivor Series 03 and 06 as examples. Does anybody agree? I'll pose that to the chat. Does anybody agree? I think brand versus brand could work in a War Games format, but otherwise, I would be fine junking the entire format. I agree. Bernard Frederick with the 5 spot. When they showed Beth Phoenix in the audience, you had to know she was going to be a part of the story. Of course, that's why they showed her. It just screamed angle alert as soon as the moment they showed her sitting in the front row, and you knew Rhea Ripley was lurking in the shadows, you had to know that she was going to get involved. Rizzo with the $20 super chat. I had to laugh with Loomis being tackled by security the last couple of weeks, and tonight he's able to get out without any issues as he is kidnapping poor Miz. Also, is it too early to DM Maryse now? Well, you have to give her a sufficient amount of time to mourn. I'd say give her about a week. She'll be sitting Shiva for the next week, and then you can slide into her DMs. Rizzo, I myself will be sending an edible arrangement. With a nice card. Rizzo, thank you again for the $20. Bernard says, Bret Hart versus Kurt Angle. In their prime, who goes over? The sharpshooter or the ankle lock? I'm going to say whoever the booker wants to win. That is the person who is going to go over. If it's me, if they would have wrestled in 2002, if Bret came back, if he didn't have the stroke and the concussion stuff, I think Angle would have gone over in that match. I think Kurt would have won, but I think it would have, like he did when he wrestled Michaels at WrestleMania 21. But I think that would have been just an incredible match. Cameron Spencer, has there ever been a match that was critically acclaimed that you didn't like? An example of that is Bryan versus Lesnar. That match was trash to me. Yeah, I don't agree with you at all. Critically acclaimed that I didn't like? Yeah, I'm sure there were. I can't think of what it would be off the top of my head. I'm trying to think in terms of, like, recent matches, but I don't know. I'm sure there must have been, though. I mean, it's such a subjective thing. I'll be reading The Observer sometimes. Meltzer will give a match, like, 6 stars, and I'm like, 3.5, 4. Yeah, I don't agree with all of his star ratings. I don't agree with other people's opinions that they're necessarily raving about certain matches. But there's no glaring example that I can think of. Actually, you know what? I will give you one. Somebody mentioned it in the chat, and it triggered my memory. Because I got a lot of blowback when I first said this in the podcast years ago. It's not that I thought it was a bad match. I don't think as highly of the first Iron Man match as a lot of people do. They hold it up in this high regard. Oh, it's like, oh my God, the Iron Man match. And I'm like, Rock and Triple H to me was a much more exciting, better Iron Man match than Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels was. I would take that Iron Man match from Judgment Day over the WrestleMania one any day. So maybe that's one example of what you're talking about. Chris Fang with the $7 super chat. I was at the Toronto show, and what a show. They were playing old music most commercial breaks, so it took a half second to realize that Gargano returns. Love you, Solomon. Thank you, Chris. Iru, Gigi got injured carrying that dump truck. Oh, my God. Oh, poor Gigi. I tapped Taz. What show will be better, All Out or Clash at the Castle? All Out. Samoan Fan 101, The Undertaker is Brock Lesnar's greatest rival. Yeah, there's a video up on the channel. It's a clip from the show on Sunday, yesterday. So chime in and let me know what you guys think. Who do you think is Brock Lesnar's greatest rival, and who do you think is Roman Reigns' greatest rival? Are they each other's greatest rivals? It's stirring up a lot of debate in the comments section, so I want to hear from you guys. Isaiah Duzan, it was so damn awesome hearing Rebel Heart again. I agree. Stephen Fees, KO and Sammy against DIY. Put it directly into my bloodstream. It does sound good, right? It does sound good. You got to admit. Dr. Dakota Scorpio, Toronto crowd were quiet because they still have nightmares of their hockey team choking and losing another Game 7 in the first round again. Oh, boy. Joshua Edwards, looks like Solomonster is off the weed for tonight. I was never on the weed. I don't need no weed. Rizzo with the $10. Do you think with Triple H in power that Roddy may end up being okay after all? We were feeling bad for him for getting left behind. Or do you still not see him getting much of a shot? No, I think he's in a much better position now than he was a few months ago. He's another one who, unless he still wants to leave, and he plans to leave. But my understanding is he's got a lot of time left on his contract. So I don't think he's going anywhere. And I do think that he will absolutely have a chance to succeed if they do want to put him on the main roster. I wouldn't have given him much of a shot at all before. Now I think he does have a chance. The Yatagaratsu with the $5 super chat. Any chance of Kurt Angle managing Alpha Academy and molding it into an actual stable? There's always a chance. I mean, Kurt has said he would love to manage Chad Gable. He has said that before. And so we're going to see him on TV next week. Maybe they'll do a segment involving him in the Alpha Academy. I don't see him going back on the road full time, though. And being a full-time manager. So for that reason, I don't think it's going to happen. But I think we could get a segment with him and Gable next week on TV. Samoan Fan, did you find Booker T and Goldust in 02 to be entertaining? Yes. Yes, of course. King Bling Blah, will we ever get an NXT Royal Rumble winner within 5 years? Pretty much, you're going to get to a point where almost everybody on the main roster is from NXT. So, yes, if you mean that, will someone from NXT win the Royal Rumble, but not like a current, present NXT roster member? Of course, because more people are being called up from NXT. Could I see a Carmelo Hayes or a Bron Breakker one day winning the Royal Rumble once they get called up? Yes, I can. If you're asking me, will an NXT present-day star be in the Royal Rumble and win? within the next 5 years? I don't think so. I don't think so. He also wants to know, are you convinced that Undertaker is done yet? And if not, why? Yes, he is done. GCC305, hey Solomonster, great review. Question, any update from the question I asked you Friday about Bret Hart? Not sure if you remember, here's $5. I don't remember what your question was. You got to remind me, refresh my memory. I get a lot of questions. I'm sure if you emailed it to me, I'm sure I saw it. I don't remember what question specifically that was. Food Hive, I'm trying with Raw, but these unannounced commercial breaks suck worse than picture-in-picture. It is so damn polished, 3D graphics and generic music. I hate it, says Food Hive. The music is very generic. They have a big theme music problem. Maybe Triple H can bring back Jim Johnston. I want Triple H to bring back Jim Johnston. That's what I think he should do. Dick the Cock Johnson, WWE gets Johnny Gargano while AEW gets the Good Brothers. There's levels to this that proves how much better AEW is. How much better AEW is for getting the Good Brothers? I know who's smoking the weed tonight. Food Hive. I don't understand how wrestling fans hate on the smaller guys like Adam Cole, Darby Allin, and Johnny Gargano. Where did Vanilla Midgets come from? I think Vanilla Midgets is... first time I ever heard somebody mention Vanilla Midgets was Kevin Nash. I mean, the idea of guys, you know, kind of insulting the smaller wrestlers and... I mean, that's not a concept that Kevin Nash invented, but... The Vanilla Midgets insult? He's the first person I ever heard say that, so... It was probably Nash, but... there are... Some of the biggest stars in the history of wrestling were on the smaller side. So you've got to have a mix of both. There are some guys who are very small and... You know, it does look ridiculous when they're standing in the ring with somebody who's literally three times their size. There can be situations where even I can't suspend my disbelief and I'm just like, all right, this is ridiculous. Now, someone like Rey Mysterio was an exception because Rey is just, he's like a once in a generation talent and the way he would fly all over the place and everything, but not everybody is a Rey Mysterio. So there are exceptions, but yeah, I mean, some of the biggest names in wrestling are smaller guys, 5'9", 5'10", you know, I mean... You can't just outright dismiss them because of their size. If they can talk, if they're entertaining, if they can tell a good story, if they make up for maybe what they're lacking in size in other ways, you know, the best guys can make you forget. You can get, you know, wrapped up in their matches and in the story of their matches. That's how you can separate the good from the great ones. Johnny Gargano is one of the great ones. Boots, whose return do you connect with, Kenny or Gargano? Who do I connect with? I mean, what does that really mean? Omega is a big name for Tony Khan to get back. Gargano, I mean, probably Gargano more so, I guess. But that's a funny word to use. Who do I connect with more? I don't know. I mean... What do you mean by connect? If it's which one am I looking forward to more? Which one do I think is the bigger? I mean, the bigger one is Kenny Omega, but I don't know. I'm very very bullish now on Gargano's future on the main roster. Gargano also does not have the kind of mileage on his body that Omega does. Gargano is probably going to outlast Omega in the ring. He doesn't have the kind of wear and tear that Kenny does. And he's younger. I'm pretty sure he's younger. Dr. Dakota Scorpio, don't be like those fickle bipolar fans with the code Solomonster. Get Magic Spoon so you can stop being fickle on what you eat in the morning. Thank you, Dakota Scorpio. Plugging my sponsors for me. David Hart, I doubt it'll happen, but what do you think the odds are that Johnny ends up winning the briefcase off of Theory at the end of their feud? It's possible if he can, you know, talk him into it somehow, and they, you know, he puts the briefcase up, Gargano wins it. I could see that. Scott Woodford has been a channel member for 18 months. One of our Sound Off legends. By the way, planning another watch along next week. So make sure you clear your schedule for next Wednesday. Probably midday, maybe around lunchtime. 30th anniversary, if you can believe it, of the SummerSlam show at Wembley Stadium. We're going to be watching Bret Hart and the British Bulldog from SummerSlam 92. The match where Bret says at the beginning of the match, the Bulldog was so fucked up on whatever it was, crack cocaine or whatever it was, smoking crack all weekend. He looked at Bret and said, Bret, I'm fooked. I don't remember the match. I'm fooked. But they went on to have a classic anyway, because that's what the greats do. The greats are still able to go out there, even with a guy who's all fucked up, and have a classic match. So that watch-along will be for channel members only. That's going to be probably next Wednesday. I'll keep you guys posted on that. Oh, we got EJ Slemp. Raw is in Kansas City in 2 weeks. If only Harley Race was still alive, because I would have loved to have seen him on Raw one last time. All right, so who is from Kansas City then? Are there any other wrestlers from Kansas City who aren't dead who can make an appearance on Raw in 2 weeks who are from that area? Who else is from Kansas City? Thomas, it was great seeing Johnny wrestling. Thank you for the $2. Joseph Brooks, just asking, but if you were booking Shawn Michaels against The Rock, who would you have go over? Me personally, I'm the biggest Rock fan, so I would say Rock. I would say Rock as well. Happy Corbin is from Kansas City. Well, fuck that. We get enough of him on SmackDown. I don't want him on Raw. Keep him off Raw. Keep him off Raw. Bob Orton. People saying Bob Orton is from Kansas City. Oh, Randy. Randy's from St. Louis. Well, Randy is not going to be there, so unfortunately. Ricky Edmund, top five horror icons, Rushmore. Jason, Michael, Ghostface. I mean, you probably put Freddy. I'm not a huge Nightmare on Elm Street guy, but probably Freddy and maybe Leatherface. Jason, Freddy, Michael, Leatherface, Ghostface. Probably works. Oh, we got Ray. Oh, Ray Wrighton. What's going on, Ray? I'll see you this Sunday. Chick-fil-A on me. Oh, that's right. House of Glory. High intensity. Live on Fight TV. Terminal 5. I'm going to be there. Our biggest show of all time. We got a stacked card. I'm so looking forward to the show on Sunday. It's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of fun. A lot of big names. Going to be on the show this Sunday. Aussie of Steel, Michael Myers versus... What's with all the horror questions? Michael Myers versus Jason Voorhees. Who wins? Well, Jason beat Freddy. Jason beat Freddy, I'm going to say... Well, Jason's hard to beat, man. I'm a Michael Myers guy, but I got to go with Jason. Jason is just... Not just because he's got my namesake, but Jason doesn't fuck around, man. I mean, Jason will fuck you up. He will fuck you up. I'm going to say Jason. I think Jason wins. King Bling Blah, Judgment Day against Rated RKO and Beth. Book it. Samoan Fan 101. You're going to be 40. Talked turning 30 in 2012. Somebody can do math. Have I studied Bandito's moves? I'm in the middle of doing all my research and all my homework this week. We got Naomichi Marufuji coming in against Eddie Kingston. I've got a lot of moves to study. I've got a lot of homework to do. I know a lot, but I don't know everything. You never know everything. That's the key. Don't ever assume that you know everything. You can always learn something new. I learn new things every day. That's part of the job. So I will be watching a lot of Bandido this week to get ready for Bandido against Loki. It was going to be Killer Cross against Loki, but you know how that goes. We have got Food Hive, Sound of Gamer, RSPW, Give Me What I Want. I know, I'm behind on stuff. There's so much content. There's so much content in so little time. But hey, look at it like this. You got a lot to look forward to. Once I finally get around to it, you got a lot to look forward to. Joshua Edwards, 3 to 5 NXT stars that you expect in the draft. I think Solo Sikoa, Carmelo Hayes. I figure at least one of the women will be in there. Or maybe even one of the women's tag teams I could see being in the draft. Sikoa, I'm pretty secure in saying Solo Sikoa. Carmelo Hayes. But look, I mean, they're all ready. I mean, Bron Breakker, you can call Bron Breakker up. The thing is, you don't want to call up all your big names, right? So Sikoa, Cameron Grimes, right? I could see Grayson Waller being called up. Tripod with the $5 super chat. I would say the biggest horror icon for Solomonster and myself is 1999 John Rocker. Oh my god, I had forgotten that name. Johnny Jerkoff. Wonder what he's up to these days. The Yatagaratsu. What about Chucky? The other ones targeted weaklings. He put a hit out on Rick Steiner. Hey, there's Tony Khan meeting Sasha Banks. How did he get so close to Sasha? He's supposed to be at least 6 feet away. That's why people were 6 feet away, because of people like Tony Khan who do what he was doing there in that super chat. Now, Chucky is a good choice. I forgot about Chucky. I have to watch a bunch of CMLL this week, as if I don't have enough to watch. Oh, my goodness. Ricky Edmund. Scream is a great franchise, but I would take Ghostface out of it because he is not one killer. Yeah, fair point. But see, it's my Mount Rushmore. I could put anybody on there. Nobody has killed more careers than Vince McMahon. I should put him on Mount Rushmore. He's one of the greatest killers of all. Fire Panda, thank you for the $2. Winter's Paw. What if Gargano sent Loomis to take The Miz away in order to save Ciampa from him and thus reunite DIY? I don't think that this babyface Johnny Gargano... Excuse me. I don't think this babyface Johnny Gargano would be doing it. Although that's a very clever pitch, but I don't think that's the... And Paul Heyman, should WWE make Karrion Kross the ambassador for their TikTok? Aha! I have to salute you. That's a good one. You've had a couple of weak ones in recent months. That's one of your better ones. I take a bow. We all take a bow to Paul Heyman. Karrion Kross, the ambassador for TikTok for WWE. That is why you pay me the big bucks. Thank you, Paul Heyman. That was very clever. I will say that is a very clever response. So, you guys came through. And I think we are over 700, I believe, now, if I'm not mistaken. We are well over 700 likes for Be the Booker. So again, get those last super chats on in. I will read them here, answer them, or do my best before we leave. But while you work on that, let's go for it. Let's be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
Man, I should have set that goal higher. We blew right past 600. You love to see it. You love to see. You know what else I love to see? I love to see some good matches booked on Be the Booker. We had a horrible night on Friday. I think we went 0 for 3 on Friday. So I am hoping that tonight is a rebound night. Ugh, what an awful night it was on Friday for Be the Booker. Can't possibly be any worse. I think we had Bret Hart against the Gobbledygooker. Surely we can do better. We begin with the Animal, Batista. That's Batista. See, I could tell that's WrestleMania 35. His physique has shrunk in this image. So we got Batista, who may well be headlining next year's Hall of Fame class. See who he's going to be stepping into the ring with. What kind of main event can we book here with Batista? Batista. Going to go one-on-one with Nick Khan. The co-CEO of WWE. The boss. The man. The bigger Khan in wrestling. We have multiple Khans. This is one of them. Batista and Nick Khan, not exactly the WrestleMania main event that I was hoping for. Let's try the women. We begin with Becky Lynch, the man, former Raw and SmackDown Women's Champion. One of the few women to actually headline a WrestleMania. Let's see who Becky Lynch is going to be. See, I think that's the key. I gotta hit the button quick. See, I let it linger, and it goes, and it goes, and it goes. I gotta strike. Becky Lynch, one-on-one with Io Shirai. Call her Io Shirai, call her Io Sky, it don't matter. Becky Lynch and Io, that is a thumbs-up match. That is a match that gets the bell. I like that match. And it's a match that when Becky comes back in a few months, we will very likely see on television. So I like it. I think I just booked a future match on TV. Let's go for the tag teams and see what we can do here. We have got Tyson Kidd and Cesaro. That team was over long before it should have been. It's unfortunate. We know why, but they were a damn good team. They were a very good team. Tyson Kidd and Cesaro, former tag team champions. They're going to be stepping into the ring with the British Bulldogs. How appropriate. We had Natty and Tyson in one image. And we got the British Bulldogs in the other. Keeping it in the family. Or in the dungeon. I guess they wouldn't be related by blood, but matter of fact, I believe it was Natty's father and the Bulldog who were hanging out doing crack or whatever the hell it was before Bulldog went over to Wembley for SummerSlam. That's why he was all fooked. He was hanging out with the Anvil all week. Well, we went 2 for 3 tonight. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good batting average right there. A nice rebound for Be the Booker. I like it. Good job. Good job. Good job. I'm clapping for myself. I mean, what the fuck? But we did much better tonight than we did on Friday. That much is for sure. Hooker T. Hooker T. Hooker T. Buy or sell. Hogan versus Omos or Kali versus Goldberg. I like to see Hogan and Omos, where Hogan just picks up Omos and then just collapses under the weight And Hogan just turns, he just turns into a like a pile of ash. I'll go with Hogan and Omos. Derek with the $2. What is the match card for Hog on Sunday? It's a big one. We have got Eddie Kingston coming back to take on Naomichi Marufuji, who has been a legend in Japan for many years. I got to see him in person for the first time at a Ring of Honor show probably 15 years ago or 13, 14 years ago, something like that, when he wrestled. Oh, my goodness. Who did he wrestle? Was it Nigel? See, I don't remember now if it was Nigel and Marufuji or if it was Nigel and Goshi Ozaki. I think it might have been McGuinness and Marufuji, but that's one of the big matches on Sunday. We've got Brody King and Jacob Fatu. The finals of the House of Glory World Championship Tournament. We have not had a world champion in 3 years. We are going to crown a new champion. Brody King is going to be there because the House of Black is coming to House of Glory on Sunday. So Brody King challenges Jacob Fatu. Buddy Matthews will be in action. Malakai Black is one-on-one with the Amazing Red. I was looking forward to that match when it was first announced in December and then Red got injured. So now we're finally going to get it after all these months. It's very interesting because you have the Amazing Red, cousins with Zelina Vega. Malakai Black married to Zelina Vega. So her allegiance is kind of being pulled in both directions. It's kind of like Brett's sister Diana at SummerSlam at Wembley Stadium. She was sitting in the crowd and she didn't know who to cheer for. Does she cheer for her brother or does she cheer for her husband? Maybe Zelina Vega will be at the show. She won't be on camera, but who knows? Maybe she'll pop up at the building on Sunday and she'll be torn. She won't know who to cheer for. So that's one of the big matches on Sunday. The Briscoes are defending their tag titles, House of Glory tag titles, in an open challenge. Joey Janela is on the show wrestling Charles Mason for our Crown Jewel Championship. Trying to think of, we got a bunch of other matches too. I know Casey Navarro is defending his Suicidal Six-Way Championship. We've got a Battle Royal on the show. Might be a surprise on the show that even I'm not fully aware of yet. So, I mean, there's a lot of cool shit coming up on Sunday. Low Key and Bandito is the latest match added to the card. Low Key and Bandito is going to be off the fucking chain. I can't wait for that one, so. Anyway, HOGWrestling.net. There's still tickets, or you can watch live on Fight TV at 7 o'clock on Sunday. I will be there. British soundboard pranks. Do you think Bianca Belair will still be champion by WrestleMania 39? It seems like we have not scratched the surface yet in terms of opponents for her. We really haven't. I mean, we were going to get Rhea Ripley and Bianca, and Rhea got hurt. So we still have that program yet to come. Bayley is back. You've got Bayley. You've got Dakota. You've got Io. You got three fresh opponents right there. And once the draft comes, which is probably happening next month, it's going to shake up, you know, both rosters. There could be people on the other show now who end up on Raw, or maybe Bianca ends up on SmackDown, and she's got a whole bunch of new opponents to step into the ring with. So do I think she'll still be champion by WrestleMania next year? I am going to say, I'm going to say, and this depends on what happens with the draft as far as the titles go, but I'm going to say yes. I think she could go to WrestleMania and then maybe loses it at WrestleMania. Cameron Spencer, is it weird that I put ice in my cereal? Yes. I mean, why would you put ice in your cereal? That's very weird. I don't know how to react to that. I've never heard of anybody doing that before. I've put ice cubes in soup when I was a kid. I've done that. Ice in my cereal. Strange bunch here. Hooker T says, be the hooker. Thank you, Hooker T. One of the better super chat names that we have. Joshua Edwards, what do you, or who do you prefer? Who do you prefer, Edge or Orton? Orton. Food Hive, is Master P still the owner? Make him say, I don't know. I'm not going to make him say anything. Ricky Edmond with the $20 super chat drop. I hope Halloween Ends does not have dumb people doing dumb things like Halloween Kills did. When Michael was surrounded by the riot people that wanted to kill him at the end, I find it funny that none of them went for the head. Yes, because they're all a bunch of dumbasses. And I said, I turned to my brother when I saw that scene. I said, they all deserve to die. Every single one of them deserved to die because they were too stupid to live. So if you're going to be dumb like that, you know what? You get what you deserve. You get no sympathy out of me. I was rooting for Michael. I'm not sure if I was supposed to be rooting for him, but I was rooting for Michael there at the end of that movie. What is a typical day in public relations? Well, it depends. It depends how many clients you have, how busy are you. If you have one client, you're not going to be as busy as if you have five or six. But it's a lot of checking the news. It's a lot of pitching, phone pitching, email pitching, trying to come up with story ideas, interviewing people to try to get information to put together the story pitches. It could be crisis communications. You might have to write a bunch of press releases. You might have to do event planning. You might have to call around to vendors. If you're doing a grand opening for a client, you might have to call and look for balloons. You might have to look for the giant scissors for the ribbon cutting. I've done that. I've carried those giant scissors through a shopping mall. I've been that guy. There's a lot of different things involved in public relations. It all depends. Do you run your own firm? Do you work for a boutique agency? Do you work for a company that has their own in-house PR department? You know, I'm sure Walmart has their own PR team. Or do you work for an agency where you get to work with a whole bunch of different clients? I've worked with a whole bunch of different clients. I've worked with nonprofits. I've worked with consumer products, financial institutions, food companies, clothing companies, sports teams. I find it's more interesting to have that mix. But I also find myself doing less and less of it because this has become my full-time job. But I wouldn't have it any other way. Food Hive says, how dare you say that about ice in cereal when you put ketchup on well-done steak? Both are disgusting. Hey, some Heinz ketchup on a well-done, well-charred piece of steak is not to be mocked unless you've tried it before. I'm always amazed by the number of people who take what I say seriously about this stuff. Hey, Fawaz chiming in. Just renewed his channel membership, channel member for 2 months. Our boy Fawaz, who has represented the Sound Off in ways that many people have not. When WWE goes over to Saudi Arabia, they're over there in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. I'm watching Crown Jewel. I'm watching, you know, whatever show it might be. And there's, boom, there's a Sound Off sign right behind Roman Reigns. It's fantastic. I love it. Fawaz, always representing the Sound Off. I don't know what I was going to say there. Darth Panic, did Jeff Jarrett get fired or did he resign? Well, we don't know until Jeff Jarrett talks about it on his podcast, I guess. I just find it funny that they fired Double J and they hired in his place the real Double J. Jeff Jarrett is fired or leaves. Road Dogg takes his spot. The same Road Dogg who was on Busted Open Radio not 3 weeks ago, literally begging for a job. And no, he was not laughing when he said it. He said, I cannot understand why AEW won't hire me. I could help them. I see things on their show that I want to help them with. I don't know why they won't hire me. I don't know why they won't talk to me. Triple H now brought him back into the family. So he no longer has to beg for a job. So that's good. That's good for the Road Dog. He no longer has to beg for a bone. Triple H bought him a doggy treat. And he's going to be okay. And Jeff Jarrett will be okay too, because Jeff Jarrett Jeff Jarrett always, he fails up. He always lands on his feet. He's like a cat. He's like a cat. If your cat walked around with a guitar smashing people over the head, that's what it would be. It would be like Jeff Jarrett. He always manages to land on his feet. We've got Joshua Edwards. How about some ketchup on a hot dog? Don't get me started. Don't get me started. EJ Slemp is working in PR similar to being a company's director of communications. I've always wanted to be a sports information director at a school. It is very similar. It is very similar. It's actually funny. I got a job listing, which, hey, heads up for anybody who's in the field looking for a job. I got a job listing, a posting. The NFL is looking for a new, I think the title is Director of Communications for the National Football League. And they sent me the posting, and it was tempting, but I passed on it. So I don't know if they've already filled the position or not, but I thought that was kind of interesting. Tripod says, I hope you had a good weekend. Well, thank you, Tripod. I hope you had a good weekend as well. I did have a good weekend. I was celebrating a friend's birthday. This was a milestone birthday for this friend, and so I had to make a long drive, but I got to see some people I haven't seen in a while, which was nice. Although what wasn't so nice is that it was in one of these places where it's like one of these kind of remote areas where you got these long, winding roads. It looks like you're up in the country somewhere. There's no lights. So at night, it's fucking pitch black. It's scary. Like I can never live in a place like that. I need lights. I need to see where I'm going. So that got a little dicey there, but it's all good. I survived. PR for the Jets. I don't want that job. Food Hive. Cat that lands on its feet never drew a dime. He wrecked 16 litter boxes. Never drew a dime. Son of a bitch. I've been to a lot of milestone birthday gatherings this year. I'm all birthdayed out. There's a lot of things coming up in September, though. It's going to be good. Chris, yes, we did Be the Booker a little while ago. We're gonna wrap up here in a second. We've got Samoan fan. What happened to Mansoor? I don't know what happened to Mansoor. I think he, I heard he fell into a manhole or something. He was walking down the street. He fell into a manhole and they never found the body. And all of a sudden there's this guy walking around calling himself Mansoor who kind of looks like him. And I don't know. I think Mansoor is dead, but now we have Mansoor. We have Massé and Mansoor on SmackDown. You can thank Vince McMahon for that. What we got? Uthman has a birthday next month. Frost has a birthday next month. A lot of September babies I see in the chat. You like that? Mansoor. So stupid. So dumb. Mansoor, exactly. That's what I said. He fell in a manhole. He is now Mansoor. I'm going to call him Mansoor from now on. Thomas, ketchup on pancakes. All right, you guys are getting too weird for me now. Ice in cereal, ketchup on pancakes. Where does it end? Soon you're going to be saying that you use mayonnaise in your pasta. Fucking mayonnaise on your baked ziti. That's where I just end the stream at that point. Like, you and I can't be friends if I start hearing stuff like that. Tyler the Ghost. I was at the show tonight, and Edge cut a promo after hinting at retiring next year in Canada. So Edge is already thinking of stepping away again, huh? You know, when he came back, he must have signed a contract in late 2019. This would be 3 years. Next year would be 4 years. I wonder how long that contract was for. It was probably three or five years. If it was 3 years, it would be up right around this time. So apparently he's considering retiring next year. You know how wrestling retirements go, though. I wouldn't put too much stock in that just yet. Darth Panic, any new developments with the Vince scandal? We don't yet know the final results of the investigation. Publicly, there's been nothing new, but they have not officially closed the investigation. They said that they are approaching the end of it. I don't know if they're going to present some kind of public report when it's over. I'm hoping they do. I would love to know the results of that investigation. I think they should. I think they should report the results publicly, but we just don't know yet. Samoan fan says, mustard in chocolate milk. Yeah. We've got Ricky Edmond with the $10 super chat. Even Jamie Lee Curtis's daughter in Halloween Kills was stupid, and she did not stab him in the head when she could have. There was no purpose of her going to his house, to his room, to stare at the window. As I said, when you do stupid things, you win stupid prizes. They do make these people very, very stupid in these movies. You are not wrong. No raids on Vince's home? No, no raids. The FBI has not raided his home yet. There's still time, but no, there has been no Vince McMahon raid. Before we head out of here, again, this is a Raw poll that we have not seen maybe ever. Definitely go vote in this. I want to hear from you guys at Solomonster on Twitter. Almost 90% of you have given this show tonight a thumbs up. It was a very good episode of Raw. If you are tuning in and you did not see Raw and you're wondering if you should watch it or not, I would say yes. I would say it is worth going out of your way to check out the show. There was some really good wrestling on the show. We had the Johnny Gargano return tonight. We had the angle at the end involving Edge and Beth and the Judgment Day. So there was some good stuff on this show for sure. And hopefully this can become the norm. Results like that. You know, poll results like that is what Dynamite was getting. Dynamite doesn't even get numbers like that on most weeks now, but there was a point in time where Dynamite was getting numbers like that in those polls. And now it's funny to see how things have changed a little bit. And now Raw and even SmackDown are getting numbers like this. And the AEW, the Dynamite numbers are still good, but they're not that good. And the Rampage numbers are still over 50%. It's not a bad show, but Rampage is just not it's just not an important show. I'm actually not sure if I'll even be reviewing Rampage this week. I'm not sure yet if it'll be a SmackDown-only review or not. I'll let you guys know. But I will be back with you on Wednesday night. Wednesday is going to be a big night. Even if you're not a big AEW guy, you should come back here anyway on Wednesday night because they are giving away CM Punk and Jon Moxley. Championship unification on Dynamite this Wednesday. The biggest possible match. What was supposed to be and what might still be the all-out main event, they're giving it away for free on live television this Wednesday. So I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what kind of finish we're going to get. I don't know if we'll see MJF. But it's going to be a big show, which means it's going to be a big review. I'm looking forward to seeing all of you back here on Wednesday night. And of course, next Monday night, we're going to finish off this month the way that we started it, reviewing Monday Night Raw live on YouTube. So I expect you guys to be back here. Rizzo with the 10 spot. Looks like you're going to get the last word, brother. I wonder if Vince... I wonder if Vince stepping down halted production of Real Sports piece on him since... or the Wall Street Journal making another piece. Yeah, I was wondering about that because they were working on a story on Vince. Now, I haven't heard that it's been shelved, but I wonder the same thing. I wonder if him... stepping down basically killed the piece. I'm not sure. I have not heard one way or the other whether or not that piece is still going to air. But I know they were looking to interview ex-female WWE wrestlers. Maybe they couldn't find any willing to go on the record. GRuss512, is Nick Khan versus Tony Khan a winner for Be the Booker? I would say yes. I would say, and actually, it's now that you mention that, I don't know if Tony Khan is in there. No, he is in there. I'm sorry. He is in there. Tony Khan is in Be the Booker. So if I ever landed on Nick Khan against Tony Khan, I would give that the bell. I would not give that the buzzer. But it has yet to happen. Oh, look who it is. Look who it is. It's the man who broke me. The man who broke me and created an all-time sound-off moment on Friday. Because I legitimately did not realize what his name was until I started reading it. I had to read it 3 times, and when it hit me, I lost my shit. I smoke a lot of weed with the $4.99 super chat. Hey, Solomonster. Been watching since I was 13. Now I'm 24. Just had my newborn. Benjamin is his name, and it's my second time super chatting. Thank you. You probably have the best first super chat that I've ever gotten. So it was a memorable one. And I want to give a shout out to Benjamin. He is now part of the I Smoke a Lot of Weed family. So shout out to Benjamin Weed. That's very cool. Listening to the sound off since 13. Now he's 24. Well, hopefully many more years. Hopefully he'll stick around for many more years. But I Smoke a, thank you very much. Honest to God, when I first started reading the name the other night, before I realized what the name was, I thought it was like his like Starbucks order or something. And I'm like, I Smoke a Latte. I'm like, and then it hit me and I just lost it. I just fucking lost it. It broke in Solomonster. That's exactly what it was. He broke me. It took me 6 minutes to fix myself. I definitely pulled that clip. In case I ever do a highlight reel of clips, that one is in the archives. I'm sure you'll see it again at some point. All right, I'm going to get out of here. Thank you for all of the Super Chat love. You guys keep this channel healthy. You guys keep this channel going. You guys keep me in business here on YouTube, and I thank you for it, and I thank you for all the likes. Make sure you hit that like button if you haven't on the way out. Oh, we got a couple more. I can't go anywhere. We got a couple more. We got Ricky Edmond with the $10 Super Chat. So if Stone Cold stayed in WWE in 2002, Brock Lesnar would have beaten him. So Brock Lesnar in his rookie year would have beaten the 4 biggest superstars in 2002. Yeah. That's how much they pushed this guy to the moon. If Austin would have done the job for him in that King of the Ring qualifier, he would have beaten Stone Cold, The Rock, Undertaker, Hulk Hogan, and he also beat Ric Flair, I thought, in a TV match. So he would have beaten Hogan, Flair, Austin, Rock, Undertaker. Think about that. Think about that for a second. That is unbelievable. Not only in his rookie year, but in the span of probably like 5 or 6 months. Hogan, Austin, Flair, Rock, Undertaker. That is almost inconceivable to me. That's amazing. Darth Panic, Russo versus Cornette. Who wins? Cornette. Cornette. Cornette's going to have either a tennis racket or a baseball bat in his hand. And anybody who saw the Walking Dead episode where Negan takes Lucille to poor Glenn and Abraham, that's what Cornette would do to Russo. There's not a doubt in my mind. So I will go with Cornette. Not even a doubt in my mind. All right, thank you guys. Have yourselves a good night. Thanks for hanging out with me. And I will see you back here live on Wednesday night for the Dynamite stream. Until then, take care, guys.